Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Scherz, and along with my co-host, Dr. Michael Karuchik, we come to you each week to discuss the topics that doctors discuss between themselves in every hospital lounge in the country. We talk about all healthcare topics imaginable, and we let you in on those private discussions so that you'll be armed with the information you'll need to fight for your healthcare freedom. This show is sponsored by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is a non-for-profit, tax-deductible organization. It was founded by doctors deeply concerned about the direction that healthcare is going in, and it offers solutions very different than those enacted by bureaucrats in Washington who believe that they know better than you do the kind of healthcare you should have, who should deliver it to you, and where. The foundation is fighting for healthcare freedom for all Americans, trying to preserve the doctor-patient relationship, very much in jeopardy right now. So please go to the website, docs4patientcarefoundation.org, and contribute generously to allow these people to carry on this fight on your behalf. You might not think you need to get involved with this, but let me assure you, you do, because if you're not a patient yet, you will be one day, and you'll want the doctor of your choice there to be there when you need him or her. That little preamble, I think, is very apropos for what we're going to talk about today, which is the doc fix. Before I do, I want to give a couple of announcements. One is a shout out to the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is in Washington, D.C. today. The leadership is there, along with the Benjamin Rush Institute, one of our partners, and Dr. Beth Haynes, a guest on this show before. And they are putting on a meeting this weekend in Washington, D.C., with over 100 medical students there, teaching them about the free market principles and the information that they're not receiving in medical school. I guarantee you they're not receiving this information in medical school. And so kudos to the Benjamin Rush Institute, and I hope that they have a very successful meeting in Washington, D.C. this weekend. I'd also like to share with everybody the news that I have been named to be on the board of the National Board of Physicians and Surgeons. And the National Board of Physicians and Surgeons is an alternate organization that is responsible for credentialing physicians when they want to be recredentialed. So we've talked about this issue also on this show before, which is maintenance of certification and maintenance of licensure, which is a shakedown of doctors. It's doctors stealing money from other doctors. Imagine that. And there's been a lot in the news about this issue, about how this is bad for doctors, this recertification and maintenance of certification, how when it's bad for doctors, it's really bad for patients because it's taking away focus from what we really need to be doing every day, which is taking care of you and not worrying about trying to maintain our licenses. This becomes more of an issue for those specialties that are with people who have multiple board specialties and maybe spending as much as $2,000 every year just to maintain those certifications. So what the National Board of Physicians and Surgeons has been created to do is to offer alternative credentialing for doctors. So this is for doctors who have passed their boards, who are board certified, but are refusing to go through the shakedown process from their specialty board, one of the 26 boards that comprise the American Board of Medical Specialties, that has legislated and mandated this ridiculous, absurd money laundering scheme for themselves. We'll have the president of the board, Dr. Paul Tierstein, on our show, on an upcoming show. But I'd like to thank the board for allowing me to participate and be a member of this great organization. Well, today I'm here flying solo with my producer, David Moxley. We are going to talk about the doc fix, something that I think has been misrepresented in the news. You have seen it in the newspapers every day, probably not hearing much about it on the radio because it's being drowned out by the airplane crash in the French Alps or the Bo Bergdahl debacle. But nonetheless, this is a big deal. Let me just kind of get everybody to understand what we're talking about with the doc fix. So in 1997, as part of the balanced budget amendment, Congress, in their infinite wisdom, felt like they needed to figure out a way to pay for doctors who were taking care of Medicare patients. And so they wanted to try to rein in costs so that it would be so that the system did not run away. So they created a system which is way too complex to describe, because believe me, if I really tried to describe this formula to you, you'd snooze off and shut the radio off. But let me just tell you that this has been a bookkeeping gimmick, a flawed creation of Congress. Everyone recognizes that it's all smoke and mirrors and it's not real. Nonetheless, it's on the books. And so what this does, it means that each year, based on how much utilization there is against the gross domestic product, there's going to be a recalculation about how doctors get paid for Medicare patients. Well, because costs are escalating and because utilization is a runaway train, because there's no skin in the game on the part of patients and no price accountability on the part of doctors, the costs have just gone out of control. So naturally, the amount that doctors would be paid has gone down each year. Well, Congress realizes that if they diminished the already low reimbursement to physicians who see Medicare patients, and just as a sidebar, we're not talking about the government reimbursing doctors. We're talking about the government paying doctors for the work that they're doing. So this is, you know, this argument is such a straw man argument to begin with. We're talking about doctors doing the work and they're supposed to get paid for it. And they're getting paid a fraction of what they are receiving from commercial insurers. Nonetheless, doctors take care of Medicare patients because either they do it out of the goodness of their heart or it's a huge part of their practice and they can't afford not to take care of them. So the government is paying doctors for the work that they do, but the SGR, or the sustainable growth rate formula, is a formula that has not worked, because they would, according to this formula, need to decrease the amount that they're paying doctors seeing Medicare patients, and they well know that if they reduce this already below market rate, that doctors would stop seeing Medicare patients immediately. And it's happening already, not only because the reimbursement is so low, but because the amount of red tape that doctors have to put up with seeing these patients is so enormous. It's so great that it occupies a large part of their day, plus they have to put on more people to satisfy all of the government requirements, that, and this cuts into their margins. Many doctors are barely making it already based on this, and I truly mean that. There are people in primary care who are barely able to keep their doors open. I know many doctors who haven't taken paychecks for many consecutive months because of problems with getting paid by the government because of their Medicare population. So the government would need to diminish or decrease the amount of reimbursement, the amount of payment to the doctors seeing Medicare patients if they were to satisfy the requirements of the sustainable growth rate in the balanced budget amendment of 1997. Well, they keep kicking the can down the road. You hear about the doc fix, and every year when this comes up, they realize, uh-oh, we better do something, and they don't do anything. So what they do is they do a temporary patch, and they just go ahead and they put that money that they would have to take away from doctors aside. They roll it into the next year, and so they put it on the tab, so to speak. And now what we're talking about is on April 1st, the tab is now due again. The SGR is set to expire, and so they'll have to adjust the rates. And now what we're looking at is a almost 21% decrease in the amount that they pay doctors. Well, gosh, what do you think is going to happen when the government says to a doctor, you know what, thank you for seeing our Medicare patients. Starting April 1st, we're going to pay you 21% less. They're just going to say, you know what? This is the straw that broke the camel's back. Forget it. I'm done. Goodbye. You can find somebody else to see your patients. Well, this is why they keep kicking the can down the road every year. So the people in Washington, in Congress, have been bound and determined to get this problem solved, to get it off the books. So in order to get it off the books, they have put together, they've cobbled together a deal not that much different than the Affordable Care Act in order to be able to say that they got this deal done and take it off the books. And that's where we are right now, because today Congress is going to vote on this bill. This is going to go into the House, and they've got a bipartisan support for this bill. Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner, behind closed doors, cobbled together the deal to make everybody look like a winner. The GOP gets the doc fix, and incidentally, I don't want this to appear that it's just a John Boehner thing. There are a majority of Republican congressmen who support this, and I'm going to get into what the problems are a little bit later in the show, why this is such a bad deal, and why they did this. But they're getting an end to the SGR problem. They are ostensibly they're claiming that this is the beginning of getting a handle on entitlement reform, so they can finally rein in the Medicare system and put in some accountability where seniors who are high-income seniors will have to pay a little bit out of pocket, which I don't disagree with, and the GOP claims that this is the road that they need to take to get eventually to an end of Obamacare, which I'll explain to you is exactly not going to happen because of this, and the Democrats get extension of the SCHIP program for children, the funding for poor children. And so we'll talk more about all of this, I promise you, in the next segment on in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship.
I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak, co-host of The Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. Please join us in the fight to save the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper and go to this website, www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. We're talking today about the SGR, the sustainable growth rate for doctors for the healthcare bill, and the doc fix, which is going to be voted on today in the House of Representatives. So why am I so hot under the collar about this? Well, let me try to frame this for everybody. So what is happening is that Obamacare has given the Secretary of Health and Human Services unprecedented authority, oversight over health care. And it's really not affected anybody yet. It's pretty much in the background. What we have talked about over the last 5 years of Obamacare since it has come to fruition has really centered primarily around insurance problems, getting an insurance plan, keeping your doctor, getting the kind of coverage that you want, tax credit or tax liability for your plan. It has not really involved healthcare per se. Well, what's going to happen now with this doc fix is that in order to get paid, there's going to be two pathways that doctors get paid. They're either going to be paid on the traditional fee-for-service pathway. That's going to mean that they render service and then they get paid, but there's going to be certain benchmarks that they're still going to need to hit in order to get paid. And doctors who take care of Medicare have not seen any increase in their reimbursement from the government since 2004. And because of adjusted inflation and tremendous overhead, this has amounted to about a 24% decrease in physician salary for those who are seeing Medicare patients. So this is really an unsustainable problem for doctors. So having some kind of system in place in a third-party system where they will increase the reimbursement is actually very unique in this marketplace. The problem, and we've talked about this many times on this show, is in large part because of the third-party payment system, somebody else footing the bill, people who receive care not having any accountability for reining in healthcare costs because they have no skin in the game, doctors not having accountability because they don't know how much things cost. So the third-party payment system is the root of the problem. But when the government controls 55% of health care, they pretty much direct how people will get paid. And this sets a new norm, a new paradigm for payment models, which up until now has been the benchmark, the standard for the way that private insurance companies pay physicians and handle individuals' insurance policies. So right now what's going to happen is that doctors will either opt into the old system, the merit-based incentive payment system, which means that they will have to still adhere to the current program, which is to report on quality measures. They'll have to use an electronic medical record. And then there's a third part, which is something that was created under Obamacare, which is called the value-based payment modifier. And what this means is that they will take the amount that you're being reimbursed and they will multiply it by this modifier that will be determined by somebody in the government, and that will be the payment that you will receive. They're anticipating that doctors who hit all the benchmarks and who stay on this path will be able to see up to a 0.5% increase in the amount of money the government will pay them for seeing Medicare payments, patients. If you instead opt for an alternative payment model, then you're taking on risk. So depending on how good a job you do in taking care of your patient population, you can see as much as a 9% increase in your Medicare reimbursement or a 9% decrease in your Medicare reimbursement. And so what are these hoops that the doctors have to jump through in order to opt into these alternative payment systems? Well, some of them we've talked about on this show. One of them are accountable care organizations, where they can show that they're hitting all of the benchmarks set forth by somebody in the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. And if they hit those benchmarks, then they've checked off that box, and that enables them to get a higher payment. Another alternative means of payment and reimbursement that doctors can opt into in the new norm in the new Medicare system are the bundled payment systems. The bundled payments are something that actually happen in an accountable care organization, which is a large hospital system that controls doctors and patients. And it is basically the 2015 version of the HMOs of the 1990s. So they are scaling back services. They're cutting costs. They are doing as little as they need to do in order to deliver care and hit these benchmarks. And so when they bundle these payments together, that means that if a patient comes into the hospital, they get paid one lump sum, and then everybody fights over the amount of money that gets paid to the accountable care organization for that episode of care. And a third way of allowing doctors to hit that enhanced payment level would be to create the medical home. What the medical home means is that some primary care doctor, and most of them will in the future, and the future is now here, will be working through a hospital. So the hospital will be a medical home for a patient, and they'll receive all their care coordinated through their primary care doctor through the medical home to decide whether or not somebody needs a test, whether they need to go to see a specialist, whether or not they need an operation. And so by hitting all of these benchmarks, the doctors in this new Medicare system will be able to achieve an enhanced payment to the physicians up to 9%. So why is the GOP so giddy about this plan? Why are they so happy that they finally got this passed? Well, I have my suspicions, and I'm truly not a conspiracy nut, but I really do believe that there is a cabal that is present right now in healthcare that consists of the federal government, the insurers, the major insurers in this country, and the hospitals, the Hospital Association of America. And the American Hospital Association, they were one of the big players at the table for Obamacare, and they wanted to push care into the hospitals. They want to be the center of delivery of health care, which incidentally is the highest acuity place to deliver health care. It's the most expensive place to deliver health care. And so why would the people in Washington, why would people in Congress for a second agree to allow that to happen? Well, the answer is follow the money. Follow the money trail. The American Hospital Association spends millions and millions of dollars on lobbyists spreading that money around people in Congress. And they know what the right thing to do is, but they are tainted. They are swayed by the large amount of money and influence that the American Hospital Association and the insurance industry wields. And so when the hospitals control things and healthcare gets shifted into the hospitals, this is making it more and more difficult for doctors to compete to stay in practice. When you pass this law, the SGR fix, the doc fix, which introduces more regulations on doctors in order to get paid. Remember I told you about the benchmarks. They've got to go through the electronic medical records and meaningful use, which is, you know, just a boondoggle. It's just smoke and mirrors and doing the government's bidding to be able to create a pseudo-scientific aura that they've done certain things right when it's actually not doing anything except capturing data. It's not making healthcare better. And they have to go ahead and not only do the EHR and the meaningful use, but they have to start reporting on their on more criteria about patients. So right now there's I think it's 15 measures that doctors have to report on. That will go up, and it will be more. And what are the things that doctors have to report on? They have to report on A1C for looking at diabetes. They have to look at blood pressure. They have to look at glucose. The BMI for obesity. There are different measures that doctors have to look at. This is going to get worse, and who bears the financial burden for this? It's the physicians. So now this Medicare fix makes them bear more risk, have to spend more money to fulfill, to satisfy these requirements. They won't be able to do it. They will go out of business. They'll have to sell their practices to the hospital, which is exactly the plan. And we'll talk a little bit more about what that means for you, the patients, when we get back into the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Have you ever wondered what doctors talk about amongst themselves? If you do, join us on the Doctor's Lounge and hear the doctors' conversations amongst themselves. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning, 8 to 9 a.m.
In 2009, the membership organization Docs for Patient Care was founded. People all around the country wanted to participate in the efforts of this group, and they wanted to join, but they were unable to do so unless they were physicians. It's for this reason that the Docs for Patient Care Foundation was created. Now, everyone can join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. While you're at your computer, please go to www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docs4patientcarefoundation.org and make a tax-deductible donation and join the fight along with us. Thank you.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. This is Dr. Hal Schurz. We are talking about this doc fix that is going to a vote today in the House of Representatives. So we were talking about why there is such a push to get this bill passed, and it is the influence of the hospitals and trying to drive more of the health care into the hospitals and away from physicians in the private community. And what this law, what this bill will do, it will make it impossible for the doctors who are just barely hanging on, and believe me, there are a lot of those doctors out there, and they will have to sell their practices to the hospitals. So right now, over 65% of healthcare, over 65% of the doctors are employed by hospitals, and that number will go up. And mark my words, you heard it today, on March 26th, 2015, that passage of this bill marks the end of private practice medicine in this country, with the exception of those doctors who are not taking any reimbursement, any kind of payment from third-party payers. And maybe that's the way to go. I certainly think that it is, but it's very difficult, and patients haven't yet seen the value of that, but they will. And it may not happen in my lifetime, but that's going to happen. So the Congress is pushing this. What it's going to mean is more regulations on doctors. They're going to not be able to stay in practice, and they're going to sell their practices to the hospitals, and more care will be delivered in a hospital setting. What this bill also does, there's other things in this bill that are bad. There's a reporting mechanism in this bill for people to visibly see what is happening with their doctors, and I'm not trying to tell you that this is that I'm against transparency, but you've seen some of the things that happen online with people's reputations. You get a disgruntled patient or a disgruntled a client if you're a professional in some other field, or a customer if you have a business, and they say things that are not necessarily true, but this is going to show up on official government, official Medicare websites, and doctors will get they'll lose reimbursement based on patient satisfaction. So this is really a very short-sighted bill. It's very short-sighted approach by the GOP. I believe that they're doing this just to check the box, just to say that they got this done. And, for the life of me, I don't understand why they didn't try to get a better bargain. Let me tell you, Heritage Foundation is not in favor of this. They're not in favor of this for a different reason. They're not in favor of it not because of the effect on the physician community and the patient community. They're not in favor of it because of the taxpayer issue, because this DocFix, which is an artificial number, it's real money, but it's an artificial number. They claim that to wipe it off the books is going to amount to $200 billion. And so Heritage Foundation objects to wiping that off the books because nobody's paying for that. Who's paying for it? And, feel like the Medicare system needs to be revamped. It needed to be fixed and tinkered with quite a bit, but the conservatives got nothing that they really wanted or asked for. There's no private contracting provision in this, no balanced billing rights for physicians. So physicians who are seeing Medicare patients can't balance bill. If a doctor does a procedure and the government undervalues it and will only pay, suppose, 30 cents on the dollar of what that doctor is receiving from a commercial payer or from people coming in and paying on their own, if you participate in the Medicare system, you cannot balance bill a patient. So there's nothing in this change that allows physicians to address that issue. The Scott Gottlieb in Forbes magazine. Scott Gottlieb is a physician who is a scholar at American Enterprise Institute. He wrote a tremendous op-ed on this piece entitled "The House Republicans Should Break the Obamacare Mold on Doc Pay." And in this piece, he really hit the nail on the head. Let me quote a few things that he said about what this bill is all about. He said that passing this doc fix, it will represent a profound and enduring triumph of Obamacare's creeping regulation of the American practice of medicine. What that means is that when this bill passes, it will further embed these changes about the government's involvement in healthcare policy, in deciding what the standards are for practicing medicine, because doctors are going to get paid if they adhere to those standards and not get paid if they don't. And so what this will do, it will go ahead and it will further embed Obamacare into the DNA of healthcare. And the people who falsely say, now that we've got this off the books, we can go ahead and tackle Obamacare in the next Congress when we get a Republican president, are just deluding themselves, because this will be further ingrained into the healthcare DNA, and it will be impossible to extricate ourselves from this. So Scott is 100% on target when he points out that this will further make Obamacare more of our healthcare DNA. Our producer, David Moxley, asked a question, is there a Senate version of this? And in 2014, both the House and the Senate had their versions of the DocFix. It never got to the Senate floor because of Harry Reid. And interestingly, despite the fact that Nancy Pelosi has cobbled together a deal with Boehner about this in the House, Harry Reid has been negative about this deal. And he's negative about it because he thinks that the Democrats didn't get enough, because this bill has an extension of the CHIP program for 2 years. He wanted to see it for 4 years. And there's no telling what other things Harry Reid felt needs to be in this, but that was the one issue that was made public. And I never thought that I would be rooting for Harry Reid for anything, but in this case, I'm hoping that he puts up enough of a barrier to get this passed that it will not make it through the Senate. Because if it does, what's going to happen is that this bill will pass in the House, and it will then pass in the Senate, a similar bill, and then they'll go to a conference committee and come up with a final bill that will then be presented to Obama, which I expect he will undoubtedly sign. Let me go back to the Scott Gottlieb op-ed and explain read some of the quotes that he has in this piece. What he said was that the bill that they're considering will consolidate a lot of the payment reforms pioneered in Obamacare while doing nothing to change the underlying price-fixing mechanism that's the heart of Medicare's woes. Consumers deserve a system that preserves their relationship with private doctors and maintains some aspect of entrepreneurism in the delivery of medical care. Obamacare required a consolidation of doctors into salaried roles, mostly employees of hospitals and hospital-owned health systems. This was crucial because Obamacare assumed that the chief way to control healthcare utilization and spending was to transfer onto doctors the fiscal burden of providing medical care. Now, Republicans in the House are about to pick up on these ideas and extend them by extending and expanding Obamacare payment reforms that transfer more financial risk to doctors and cement the current trends in healthcare delivery. So, what this means for you as a patient, what it means is that if you like standing online in the Motor Vehicle Bureau, you're going to love the new norm with healthcare, because you'll have to get your healthcare in a hospital. You'll have to sit in one of those large rooms where they overbook and they don't care, and and you can spend a half a day in the doctor's office because there's really no accountability. And oh yes, they say that patient satisfaction, that's one of the benchmarks that they're going to be looking at, but at the end of the day, the hospitals are about corporate practice of medicine, about making a buck, not about making patients better, not about fixing problems, but rather about how to deepen the bureaucracy, how to solidify their jobs as bureaucrats, which has nothing to do with delivery of health care. The Steve Brill article in Time Magazine, he's written two articles about the costs involved in health care in the hospitals, how the hospital setting of delivery of health care is resulting in escalating, soaring health care prices. And what we're seeing as a result of that is that you've got healthcare administrators, executives, who are making obscene amounts of money and are doing nothing to add value to the healthcare system. And I want to just give the GOP a big pat on the back for for their fealty to the hospital system, and instead of standing up for doctors who are in private practice, instead kowtowing to the hospitals who are who's spending a lot of money on their campaigns and helping them stay in Washington. You're in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your health care freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's D-O-C-S, the number 4, patientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
The Docs for Patient Care Foundation is your way to join the fight and become a member of an organization created by doctors for patients, dedicated to fighting for your healthcare freedom and preserving the doctor-patient relationship. Get a pen and paper. Write down www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. That's www.docsforpatientcarefoundation.org. Go to our site and please make a generous tax-deductible donation and join the fight today. Thank you.
You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the Doctor's Lounge. Let's wrap up this show on the SGR and Doc Fix. I think that today will be a sad day for private practice medicine when this goes through the House of Representatives and gets passed with a majority vote. I personally believe that Obamacare will not go away, and this will just as Scott Gottlieb has said in his op-ed from Forbes magazine, further cement Obamacare into our healthcare DNA, and the doctors and the patients, unfortunately, will be the big losers because there'll be less choice, there'll be less competition, there'll be government price fixing, and it's only a matter of time before the major insurers follow suit with the new paradigms that Medicare creates. And these quality metrics are all Washington-based quality metrics that truly, honestly, do not have anything to do with better health care. What would have more to do with better health care would be for patients to control the flow of their money and speak with their feet and let patients decide which doctors are doing a good job, which doctors are not. The ones who are not won't be in business. They're the ones who will have to go into the hospitals because they can't stay in business, not vice versa, not the good doctors having to go in the hospitals because the government is driving them out of business. If you have patients who decide where they want to go, then doctors who are the great doctors, well, they will compete in the marketplace, and some of them will charge less, not because they are worse doctors, but because they feel like that's the only way or the best way for them to get business and get patients in their office. Others will charge more because they know that they're excellent doctors, high-quality doctors, and that if patients want to see them, that they'll have to pay a premium to see them. And patients will, because the people at the end of the day will want the best. Don't people right now stay at the the Four Seasons hotels? Some of them do. Some of them go to Holiday Inns. Don't people, you know, go to Ruth Chris Steakhouse? And others, you know, go to Burger King or McDonald's. But people decide what they want to spend their money on. And if they want to spend money on higher quality, on better things, that's up to them. And right now, this system is moving away from that, which is a one-size-fits-all, government-decides-how-things-are-going-to-run system that is being carried out by their minions, the hospitals and the insurance companies. So we have to fight. We have to fight for healthcare freedom. That's what the Docs for Patient Care Foundation does. One of the things that, you know, will still continue to go on is the push for care delivered through direct primary care outside of third-party payment systems or outside of Obamacare exchanges, where there hopefully will still remain a market for people to get insurance that is the insurance that they want, and that will lead to more affordable prices. And I can tell you, I could share with you that here in Atlanta, we're working on a system just like that, based on direct primary care, where we will enable people to get care that they pay for and work with specialists who will be willing to accept money in a competitive market system, and insurance companies that are willing to participate in this system. And if we can put this together here in Atlanta and prove concept, I think that this will be something that will take off nationally, and I'll be looking forward to sharing this with everyone out there as we build this and actually make it happen. But right now it's in its infancy, but I think that this is what we really have to spend our time doing now, fighting for the healthcare freedom that is being taken away from us by people who are supposedly empowered to represent us. And I can't tell you how disappointed I am in the GOP leadership for allowing this bill as is to go to a vote. I think that Medicare needed to be reformed. Some of the reforms in this bill are important, like allowing or mandating people who are higher means seniors of footing some of the bill. I think that's important, and I certainly would be in favor of that. And again, that won't happen right now. Seniors who were promised Medicare, who are on Medicare, who are close to retirement age, who are counting on Medicare, won't be affected by a means testing. But for future Medicare recipients, that will be a part of it. And I think that that's an important part in reforming this massive entitlement. But to do it on the backs of the doctors, I think, is just unconscionable. To say that this is something that is supported by all of the physician organizations, the professional organizations, I think is a specious argument. What I mean by that is they're using the support in the doctor community, the doctors in the doctors caucus in Congress, the doctors who are members of professional organizations like the AMA, the American College of Surgeons, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Academy of Family Practitioners. They're saying that all of these organizations, over 70 doctor organizations, support this. If you go back and you look at the position that these organizations took in 2010 when Obamacare was being debated, each one of those organizations supported Obamacare. They supported the Affordable Care Act. So to come back and use those same organizations when we know what an abject failure Obamacare is, and say that these organizations support this stock fix is just a specious argument that does not hold water. These doctor organizations have been so focused on getting the SGR repealed for so long that they are blinded by the details of what's in it. And so, again, it's checking off the box, saying we've been fighting for the SGR repeal for over 15 years. We finally got it. Oh, well, forget about the details about how we, you know, what's involved in getting it, that the doctors are going to have to spend more money than they already do to fulfill the requirements so that they get paid. Forget the fact that any Yahoo can post something on a Medicare site about them. Forget the fact that the doctors who are right now struggling to stay in business will not be able to because of the regulations imposed in getting paid. They just can't afford what's necessary and put in place to get paid. So they're going to just give up. They're going to hang it up. They're going to say, I've had enough, I'm quitting, or they're going to say, I'm selling my practice to the hospital, let them worry about it. And the hospitals don't care. The hospitals, they want this system in place because they're already set up to report this kind of stuff. They have to report this stuff. There's so many hoops that they have to jump through, set up by other regulatory agencies, that for them, this is nothing. The setting up an electronic medical record for a physician in order to get paid, that can cost a physician as much in private practice as much as $50,000 or more, $100,000 or $150,000. You know, for a hospital system, setting up a system that costs a few million dollars is a drop in the bucket. But for a physician, solo physician, a two-person group, barely hanging on, that is serious money. And they can't afford it. And now to have to do more, they just can't do it. So they're going out of business. Your care is going to get picked up in the hospital. And this is just the beginning of the government deciding on what you have to do as a physician and what your physician, as a patient, what your physician has to do to you in order for them to get paid. So congratulations, GOP. I think you let down everybody. I will wrap up this show. I'd like to once again give kudos to the Docs for Patient Care Foundation in Washington this weekend, putting on a meeting with the Benjamin Rush Institute. I know that they're going to have a great meeting, and I hope that they listen to this show. This is a great instructional audio for these students who are not yet out of medical school and still wet behind the ears. Next week, my co-host, Dr. Michael Karuchik, will be sitting in the seat, and I'll be back here in 2 weeks. I want to thank you for being with us today in the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio.
This is America's Web Radio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.